At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/big deal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And we begin the Saturday edition of The Handle. Dave Ross and Adam Burke here at Circus Sportsbook in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know where Matt is. I assume vacation. Maybe playing golf. I have no idea. I can't keep the whereabouts of one Matt Brown. You don't know. Do you know?
I do not know. But yeah. Wherever he is, I'm sure he's the life of the party today.
I'm sure he's having a good time. We have got a great show today. We're going to have Brian Petrie join us to talk a little UFC in this hour. Pretty good main event tonight. Corey Sandhagen against Chito Vera. We're going to have Jerry Palm join us to talk a lot of college basketball today. And then hour number three, Jeff Goodman is rumored to be in Las Vegas and will be in studio with us for hour number three, Adam. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But the people, we like to let them exercise democracy and vote. And Stephanie comes up with a great poll question each and every week. We have one today. If you're going to go money line, okay, today on some of these NCAA tournament games, what's the best outcome that you might see? Because I think both dogs are live today with FAU and Gonzaga. Not sure how you feel about that. We'll find out. But the viewer's voice is up, and you can vote, and you should vote. Because, again, it's your democracy.
Exactly. Exercise your right to vote in the poll at VSiN Live. Look, I mean, I'll go ahead and spoil it. Why not? I like chalk in both games today.
You do?
I like UConn and Kansas State, +204, according to our poll, playing that money line parlay. Yeah, I mean, look, I think they're going to be both great games, and obviously, I mean, both dogs are definitely live when you got spreads of 1.5 and 2.5, but I'll let the cat out of the bag early. I'm fine with that.
So, again, that's where Adam's going to vote. So if you want to play the chalk, that is your one of your options that you have for which parlay is going to hit today. FAU and UConn, that'd be one small dog and one small fave. That's +246. FAU and Gonzaga, +361. That's the long shots here. And then you said, you know, kind of go a little bit chalky there with K-State and UConn +204 or K-State and Gonzaga +305. I have not voted yet, but I do like both dogs. So I'm going to go with the longer shots right now at 20.3%. That would be FAU and the Zags. So Adam and I on opposite ends of that parlay spectrum. So let us know how you feel and what you want to vote on today. But let's get to the high five, the five things that we are the most excited about betting on. And Adam, let's start right there with March Madness here as we're elite. And by the end of this weekend, we'll be down to just a select four. FAU against Florida State, the first one on the docket today. Again, FAU, are they Cinderella? Is it fair to call them that?
I mean, based on their seed line, I think you can call them a Cinderella, but I mean, this was a top 40 caliber team. I think they were just kind of underseeded being a nine would be more the way I would look at it.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And again, 1.5 right now. So again, maybe if you like the owl side here, you're hoping to get over a bucket. It doesn't look like that's going to be there as the money a little bit coming in on FAU right now. K-State, they've been an amazing story, obviously, an amazing game against Michigan State to get to this point. I know sometimes people might go, are we worried about the energy level with what it took to get rid of the Spartans in the last round? Now you got a 48-hour turnaround. Your best player did get injured in that game. We saw the heroics to come back there and get that done. But that could be something to look at early in the first 10 minutes.
I think it could be. But also, I mean, you look at Florida Atlantic, and their game against Tennessee was no picnic. I know they ultimately won by 7, yep. But they got beaten up in that game. That was a very, very physical game. The officials let a lot go, which generally would help a team like Tennessee.
Right.
It didn't in the end, and Rick Barnes is a horrible NCAA tournament head coach. We've all talked about that across every show on the network. But Florida Atlantic got beaten up in that game. And keep in mind, I mean, you know, they were a late bucket away from losing to Memphis and possibly not even making it to this point. So they've had an interesting and emotional road themselves.
They have. And again, you just look at the way that these teams have gotten here and to think that on this side of the bracket, it feels like there's going to be some sort of an underdog with no number one seeds making it to the Elite Eight. First time since they've started to do the seed system that's happened in the history of the NCAA tournament, not even getting one to the Elite Eight. You're going to have Kansas State's a 3 seed, right? So it's not like this is fluky by any means, but still, it's one of those things you go, well, if they lost in the first or second round, nobody would have batted an eye there either. And the same thing with FAU, but here they are now with the right to go to the Final Four. It's pretty amazing to think that one of these two teams is going to be in that, have the opportunity possibly to play for a national championship.
Well, I mean, I think something that we need to look at more, and it is hard to quantify, but coaching means so much in this tournament because in theory, all these teams are good, right? They're either all conference champions or they're teams that, you know, throughout the course of the season were highly rated by the metrics or they come from power conferences where they play a lot of good teams, stuff like that. You know, Jerome Tang at Kansas State has done a phenomenal job this season. Dusty May at Florida Atlantic, I mean, this was a team not picked to win Conference USA, not picked to make the NCAA tournament. Really, you know, I mean, they were ranked for the first time in program history this year, but that speaks to the level of coaching for this team. So, two really, really good head coaches in this game. I think you've got one really good head coach and one okay head coach in the other game. But I think that's something that's really, really interesting about this tournament as a whole, looking at the coaching and specifically trying to prey on mismatches. We won't have too many of those the rest of the way.
When you look at UConn and Gonzaga here, let's look at the coaches there. You look at Danny Hurley against a guy like Mark Few that even though he hasn't won a national championship now, because we're getting down to the nitty gritty, he might be one of the elite coaches still left here in this Elite Eight. Now, I talked about maybe the energy it took for FAU and for Kansas State, rather, to get through to these rounds. What about Gonzaga? I mean, that was just a knockdown, drag-out affair with UCLA, almost blowing a 10-point lead in the final couple minutes. Coming back, you get the incredible shot to move on here if you're Gonzaga, and now you're getting 2.5 against UConn. A little bit of that money is coming in on the Huskies so far.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me about Gonzaga, and this has been a concern all season long, this is pretty clearly, in terms of the efficiency metrics, the worst defense that Mark Few has had during this run at Gonzaga. And look, I mean, this is a team that they make the Sweet 16 every single year.
They do.
Now you get to this point, and they start playing teams that are on their level. And I think it's really unfair that people talk about how Gonzaga hasn't won a title yet, or they're like, oh, they get to this point, and then they fall flat. Look, in a one-game sample, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these teams, I mean, as the name implies, the Elite Eight, all of these teams are at least elite or borderline elite that are left in this field. So, you know, for Gonzaga, they're just playing good teams. Anything can happen. So maybe this is the year for them. Maybe it isn't. But this is a season where the defense isn't quite up to par.
It felt like UCLA got whatever they wanted in the first 20 minutes of that game, whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. And then they went on an almost 11-minute scoring drought without a field goal.
Lost by 3.
It's absolutely amazing. So again, UConn feels they are the shortest favorite on the board now, by the way, to cut down the nets. They feel like the most complete team. I got some Zags 15-1 tickets, so I'm holding that hope that they got a little bit of energy left here to get past UConn. But that is going to be a tough road to hoe today. Another thing that we cannot wait to wager on, hopefully you wagered on it earlier this morning, and that will be in the match play scenario going on in golf. For those that have not been paying attention, I get it. It gets lost in March Madness. This is their version of March Madness, right? And you had a matchup earlier today. Rory McIlroy was well over a $2 betting favorite, I think 235 against Lucas Herbert, the Australian. He was plus $1.92. Last I saw, Rory was one up as they're making a turn here. And again, they're going to get down from 16 today down to their final four by playing two matches today. Herbert coming into this thing was the 46th seed. Rory was the third seed. That's basically a 1 against a 15. But if you do that in basketball parlance, you probably would have got about 10 to 1 on the dog. You weren't even getting 2 to 1 on this basically 15 against a number 1. And obviously, Rory, he hadn't won a major in almost 10 years. I don't know if this he looks at this and says, you know what? I want to get back to world number 1. But it's just interesting when you do the correlation to March Madness, how the numbers are so drastically different from a 15 seed in golf to a 1 seed in this tournament.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, golf is such an interesting sport for a variety of different reasons. You know, you may hit a shot way offline, it bounces off a tree,
get a break,
kicks into the fairway, you know, or it may kick the other way off the tree. You know, you lose that hole in this match play format, and it winds up, you know, being the kiss of death for you. Rory up 1 through 11 here. But there are, I mean, there's a route going on. Cameron Young is 5 up on Billy Horschel through 9.
Whoa.
And Kurt Kitayama up 4 on Andrew Putnam through 10. So we got a couple of blowouts in the match play here today.
And Lucas Herbert, by the way, came in with no form. He shot 82-85 to miss the cut of the Players. And now here he finds himself in the Sweet 16 of the Dell Tournament Technologies match play tournament going on right now. Number 4, can't wait to bet. We're going to talk a lot more about it here in this hour. Holly Holm back in there. She's a Hall of Famer to be against Santos here. And you go, Yana Santos, who is she? It's Yana Kunitskaya. She got married, took Santos. So it's not a newcomer here in the UFC. And also the main event here, Chito Vera against Corey Sandhagen. Cannot wait to break that down here. Sandhagen, the numbers come down here. It was up about minus $1.70. Now minus $1.55. So Marlon Vera getting a lot of the love here during the week. We'll find out if that is smart money move or not, right? Dogs have been cashing here the last couple of weeks after UFC 285, where it felt like all the faves won. So a slight dog run here in the last couple of weeks. That main event's very, very tricky for me. I haven't even played it yet. Got some leans. We'll talk about that as the hour goes on. But the fifth thing that we can't wait to wager today, Adam, you've got your eye on a hockey game you can't wait to bet.
I do. So I actually went to the game last Sunday with Todd Furman, a guy who's very, very well known in this business. Mm-hmm. We went and saw Vegas and Columbus. Ooh. And Columbus, you know, back from my home state of Ohio, they are abominable defensively. They are really awful. They're getting no goaltending whatsoever. They've given up at least 4 goals in 10 straight games.
Whoa.
They've been an over machine. My buddy texted me. He goes, you'd own the Bellagio if you were betting Blue Jackets overs right now. So we can talk more about that as we go throughout the show, because obviously I think there's a play to be had in that game.
Okay, so 6.5 is the total there. The Jackets here plus $1.30 on the money line. You want to go puck line here for the Canadiens, but don't. You can get that. You got to lay a goal and a half, but you see the money line there, minus $1.50. So we'll get Adam's take on that before this show gets put to bed over the course of the next 3 hours. But when we come back, let's talk more about the NCAA tournament, Adam, because I'm looking at these numbers. A week ago, if I told you that UConn would now be the shortest betting favorite on the board, you would not have believed me. That's because all the number one seeds are long gone from this NCAA tournament. That, diamonds in the rough, whenever you have Adam Burke here for 3 hours, going to pick your brain about a lot of baseball on the docket as well. Don't go anywhere. Just getting it started. It's The Handle here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetRivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be. You can win up to $10,000 in bonus money instantly by playing our exclusive BetRivers squares for the remainder of this basketball tournament. Place a qualifying bet, going to get a square in the house. If the numbers on your square match the final score of the game, you're going to win. Restrictions on qualifying wagers, eligible bonuses, and credit use. Full terms and conditions available at BetRiversSquares.com. Back alongside Adam Burke, Dave Ross here. It is The Handle here on VSiN. And I sent this to you on the way in today, Adam, and I didn't know if I was going to give it out there for public consumption because the way my day started was absolutely bizarre. So I'm getting ready to come and get in the car and drive to work. I forget my banana. It's a three-hour show. You got to have a little energy.
Sure.
So I go back inside to get my banana, and for some reason, I start singing Limp Bizkit Break Stuff. Now, I can't really say the lyrics that I was singing because Fred Durst would use some bad words in there. Mom wouldn't be happy. I go back downstairs, start the drive here, turn on the car. The first song is Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit in the very same part of the chorus that I was singing 15 seconds ago. How do you explain that? What would be the odds of that happening?
I don't think I can explain it. I mean, like I said, the first question that I had to you was, what happened this morning that you were singing Break Stuff to yourself?
I think it was just pumped up for the show. Like, I was just, you know, like, I got a chainsaw. What?
I'm honored. It's because I'm here and not Matt Brown.
You damn right. Sorry, Matt. Let's get to college basketball again. I mentioned in the first segment here that UConn, and again, was taking a look at this last night once we saw how everything was going to shake out. They are the betting favorite now to cut down the nets. They are plus 320. Texas, very impressive win last night against Xavier. I was really surprised how easily they dispatched the Musketeers last night. They are the second betting choice here at plus 360. Now, obviously, you look at Gonzaga, and they're now 5-1, and obviously they're going to play UConn, so you can see why those are kind of aligned with the lines that we see today, right? Very, very close. The Zags are 5-1 here. Is there, first of all, any advantage that you can denote from that you look at UConn plus 320, but yet they're only a 2.5-point favorites over Gonzaga? 5-1. It feels like whoever gets through that, Texas could be standing in your way to get to a national championship. I guess that feels like the harder side of the bracket right now.
Yeah, I think so. And look, I mean, Texas is a team top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Had a -4 yesterday against Xavier. That was, you know, a nice, basically wire to wire job there for the Longhorns. they're a really, really good team. They're obviously motivated. They're playing for interim head coach Rodney Terry. Yeah. They want him to have the interim tag stripped from that title and be the actual head coach there. Yeah, I mean, look, it makes sense, you know, especially because you've got UConn and Texas who are the top two, probably the top two teams left. The third best team would be Gonzaga, and, you know, they'll potentially lose to UConn here today. But look at the other side of the bracket. I mean, it's just kind of weird, right? Because you've got a 5, a 6, and a 9 over there. And Kansas State, while they're good and while they're a 3 seed, I don't think people like how they stack up against a Texas or a UConn or a Gonzaga, something like that. So the odds board definitely makes sense here, I think. But, look, I mean, when you look at the West region, when we looked at that on the draw on Selection Sunday, there were like 5 top 15 teams,
yeah,
according to KenPom and Bart Torvik, in that region alone. Like, Kansas was the 4th best team in that region, and they were the number 1 seed. So that West region had been stacked all along. And, you know, obviously now we get an interesting Elite Eight game with UConn and Gonzaga.
What really I'm kicking myself, because yesterday morning this time, you could have gotten Miami at 45-1. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you go, well, they're going up against the number 1 overall seed in Alabama. I love them yesterday. I thought they
Houston. They played Houston.
Oh, Houston, Miami. I'm sorry. Yeah. The second overall number 1 was Houston, right? Alabama was the 1 seed. San Diego State got them done. But I loved Miami yesterday with Coach L back from his George Mason days to get to the Final Four. And I just thought they were really live at 45-1. Didn't play it. Mm-hmm. Now it's 11-1. And again, it does still feel like potentially it's not going to be easy against San Diego State now. And that's going to be a very interesting matchup in and of itself. How do you look at those two teams here going head to head? Is it because that draw feels easier? Would you play one of the longer shots, or do you think you still have to go with the chalky side of UConn, Texas, or Gonzaga?
Well, look, I mean, I think the San Diego State Creighton game is very much a toss up because those teams play two very, very different styles of basketball. They're both well coached. They both do certain things really, really well. But, you know, I think it's kind of a tricky handicap to come up with. With Miami and Texas on the other side, you know, look, I mean, Miami is just so creative offensively, and Houston had no answer for it. Houston had no answer for their dribble penetration. And I actually took Miami plus the 7.5, didn't play the money line, of course, but took Miami plus the 7.5 because Houston had played the 101st ranked slate of opposing offenses, according to KenPom. They hadn't seen a lot of teams that could creatively score, and Miami really exploited them for that. So looking at the top of the bracket, I think that San Diego State-Creighton game is tricky. Miami and Texas, you know, the thing about Miami is you could have moneyline rollovered that and probably gotten better than 45-1.
Ah.
But, you know, that's something that's kind of hard to keep up with. People don't necessarily love doing that. But, you know, I think that's a really intriguing game because Texas is such a strong defensive team that's seen a lot more than Houston has. So I don't know if I really like any of those teams coming out of the top just because you've got a Kansas State that's really well coached in the bottom and UConn and Gonzaga are the two best teams left in the field. So I don't know if I like anybody in the top of the bracket to actually cut down the nets.
Texas was 4 over Xavier, the same number against the Hurricanes here. Is that fair that you can now look at Miami and Xavier and say, yeah, they're about the same, at least in the betting market?
When you look at them on the surface, they're both really good offensively and not so good defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a lot of similarities between the two teams. I think what's kind of more interesting is to say, you know, is Texas 3.5 points worse than Houston? And I don't think that they are. I think Texas is a really, really good team playing at a very, very high level. So that's one where I think maybe Texas has a little bit of line value based on kind of comparing Houston and Texas side by side. But for Miami here, you know, I mean, a team that's just really, really good offensively.
Yeah.
And throughout the course of the year, a lot of people kind of look down upon them for their road performances. They had some close losses and some nice wins on the road. I thought it was kind of unfair, not like, you know, Indiana and Maryland, where it was very much warranted that they weren't good playing anywhere other than home. So that's the thing about Miami, though. Will they defend at any point? Are they going to have to defend at any point? If they have to defend in this game, they probably come up short and probably don't cover the number.
You know, when you look at the correlated play here of the MOP, the most outstanding player, I just like the MOP. Like, when you look at Sonogo, 4-1, right, even though UConn is plus 320. You look at Carr for Texas, plus 550, they're plus 360. Like, Drew Timmy, if Gonzaga wins, he's plus 550, Gonzaga 5-1. Would you extrapolate more of the individual MOP player with your team versus taking the shorter prices on the team bets?
Yeah, I mean, I think Timmy is one, like, this kind of harkens back to when you look at the Super Bowl and you look at the odds for the money line versus the odds to win the MVP. If the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP. That's just kind of the way that it goes with that voting process, unless you get some weird fluky thing on defense, a couple picks, a pick six, something like that, it's probably going to be the quarterback. In this case, if Gonzaga wins the national championship, Drew Timmy is clearly winning most outstanding player.
Because again, this is not a one game one, whereas right. in the Super Bowl, it is just a one game award. This is for the whole tournament, right?
Right.
So there, Strother hit the big shot, right? But I don't think.
But Timmy had 36.
That's right. I think you and I are sitting here saying, if you like the Zags at this price point of 5-1, the smarter play would be to take Timmy at plus 550, get a little bit more value there. Kalkbrenner, let's say for Creighton, right? Is there a scenario where somebody else other than Ryan Kalkbrenner is not the MVP if Creighton were to cut down the net? Because the value there is 10-1 versus plus 550 for Creighton.
Yeah, I don't think it's as cut and dry as Timmy winning it if Gonzaga cuts down the nets. But look, I mean, it's probably going to be Kalkbrenner. Now, I don't think Creighton wins at all, so right. I don't know if this is a good bet anyway. But if you think that you like the draw for Creighton against San Diego State and then the winner of FAU and Kansas State, then yeah, you can certainly talk yourself into Kalkbrenner, where he's been their best guy. He's been their best player throughout the course of the season.
No doubt.
You know, it's just kind of, keep in mind too, I mean, these things are voted on, right? So you want, you want to try and get in the minds of the writers who have to concoct a story out of this and where their vote may end up landing. Drew Timmy is 35 years old. You know, he's been playing college basketball for over a decade. Like, that's an easy article to write. You have tons of ammunition for that. Marquise Noel, 19 assists in that game against Michigan State. Easy story to write. Plus, he's 5'8". Like, you can talk about, you know, his NBA prospects while going, hey, also he's the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament. So think about that, too. Think about the narrative that can be drawn up by the people voting on this, because that should dictate where your bet goes.
Wasn't it Cal Perry that got in some hot water when he said, yeah, the little guy played pretty well?
Well, the little guy's still playing, and Cal Perry's not.
That's true. And then what did Izzo say? Oh, they got lucky, kind of threw one. I mean, they did get kind of lucky. When you throw one up like he did right to beat the buzzer, and again, this is not a slight of the little guy, because the little guy is still playing. But both of those things can be true.
Right.
But people just love to go, oh, my goodness, you can't say that stuff.
Michigan State also couldn't stop the pick and roll worth anything in that game. The only other thing I would say, I think Marquise Noel does win it if Kansas State wins at all. But Keontae Johnson, of course, the episode that he had at Florida, now comes back and he's been, you know, a vital piece of this, you know, Wildcats run. That's the only thing I feel like could get in the way if Kansas State does win at all.
Yeah, Noel at 11-1 here in, what are they, a little bit shorter there, obviously, to win the whole thing for the team price, but I'm with you.
8-1, I think.
8-1. So I would probably take the 11-1 because the story would certainly write itself. All right, when we come back, speaking about stories, this man writes a lot of stories here for VSiN.com on Major League Baseball. We'll get some of your thoughts, some diamonds in the rough. Next, here on The Hand.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now. It has features, team previews, and best bets. Steve Macklin has power ratings on every single team. And some guy named Adam Burke broke down how the new Major League Baseball rules are going to impact the bettors. Adam, I can't wait to get your thoughts on that. Whether you're going to bet baseball every day or looking for valuable future bets, our betting guide has it all. Sign up today. Get full access to VSiN for 30 days for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside the aforementioned Adam Burke, I am Dave Ross. This is The Handle here on VSiN. Very quickly, before we get to some of the plays that you like, look, you know I'm old school. I look at it, we're going to have fun bags for bases. We're going to have pitch clocks, and we're going to have ghost runners on if we get to extra innings. The rule changers do have to affect the way that people should handicap their season, just as an overview before they get the betting guide for $19. What are some of those rule changes that you really are going to think are going to have the biggest impact?
All right, so I could take a whole segment on this, but I'm going to try to keep it quick.
No, I love this stuff.
So the bigger bases is largely a safety thing. It will help a little bit with stolen bases, I think, but that's largely a safety thing. That's actually not one that I'm super concerned about.
Okay.
The pitch clock and the shift ban are two things that I'm very concerned about. So the pitch clock is the hitter has to be ready with at least 8 seconds and facing the pitcher.
8 seconds.
With 8 seconds left on the pitch clock. So if there's nobody on base, the pitch clock is 15 seconds.
Okay.
If there's men on base, the pitch clock is 20 seconds. And the hitter has to be ready with 8 seconds. If the hitter's not ready, it's an automatic strike. If the pitcher's not ready, it's an automatic ball. So that's the pitch clock, kind of just the essence of it. But the biggest thing about the pitch clock to me, Yeah, you may have some counts that get kind of skewed with automatic balls and strikes, stuff like that.
Because that's going to happen.
It will, absolutely. I mean, there were 7 violations in a spring training game last night.
Wow.
And these guys have been playing with this for over a month. Violations have gone down significantly since it started, but they're still kind of happening a little bit. But the biggest thing about the pitch clock is now you can't control the running game in the same way that you used to. You're allowed 2 disengagements.
That's
which
right.
Means stepping off the rubber, looking over at the runner, you know, to step off, throwing over. You're allowed 2 disengagements. So what that means is if you're a base runner and there's already been 2 disengagements and you peek at the pitch clock, you know when the pitcher has to go to home plate. You just take off. So there's a huge increase in spring training with not only stolen base attempts, but also successful stolen bases. So
I can make my lead as big as I want it to be. You can't throw over.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to 2 disengagements, for sure. And the biggest thing about this is that from a sabermetric standpoint, from a run expectancy standpoint, a lot of teams shied away from stolen base attempts because the success rate you have to break even is high. And also getting a runner thrown out is a really bad thing in an era where strikeouts are higher than ever.
Yep.
Batting average last year was as low as it's been since the 1960s. So you didn't want to run the risk of getting a guy thrown out. Now, teams are going to be much more aggressive on the bases because they can be. So that could be something that increases scoring. And the shift ban, which is, you know, now you have to have 2 infielders on each side of second base and they have to be on the dirt at the time of the pitch, you're going to see a lot more singles. So you're going to run into a scenario where you're going to get a base hit, stolen base, RBI single. Those are things that are going to happen much more frequently this year than they have in recent seasons.
I find this fascinating because, again, I mean, just if you want to go back and think about, you know, Ricky Henderson, how many more bases he'd steal knowing that you can't throw over. Think about that if you're old school like me, how many times they threw over to try to slow a guy down like Ricky Henderson. This is going to artificially increase runs, you would believe, right, because of the shift or the no shift. I'm one of those guys in any sport. I don't believe there should be anything called an illegal defense in any sport. Just beat it. If you're good enough, beat it.
Right.
Right? Do you think these will be good improvements for the game, and are they necessary?
Well, I don't think they're necessary personally, although I haven't agreed with much of anything that Rob Manfred's done.
Right.
Until he figures out balls and strikes being called accurately and like umpires aren't on power trips, or you know their union is so strong that they're basically umpires till they die or retire. That's my biggest issue with baseball. But
they have not addressed that.
No, not yet. I mean, they're addressing it in the minor leagues where they're doing the automated balls and strikes where you know, the home plate umpire gets told what it is. So here's the thing. It will increase base runners, and it will increase runners in scoring position. Will it increase scoring? I think that's a little bit debatable because, and this is tough, because a lot of the best hitters in baseball played in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
So like we've seen a big drop in power production in spring training. A lot of guys that hit for power aren't playing in spring training. But that's the thing. Now if you're a left-handed batter, instead of going up there thinking, I have to hit it over the shift, now you're going, I can just hit it through the infield.
That's it.
So you will see guys hitting fewer fly balls, I think, which may decrease doubles, home runs, stuff like that. So there's kind of some give and take that I think the books are going to have a hard time with and bettors will have a hard time with until we get some actual data to work with. And that won't be until, for me, probably until the month of May.
I was going to say, by the way, I do find that all of this fascinating. It'll be very interesting to see how April plays out as seeing it for the first time.
Think about it. What other major sport has had changes this drastic?
No, I mean,
the National Hockey League, they kind of changed rules on, you know, like obstruction penalties and you get more power plays, stuff like that. But Major League Baseball changes the ball every year. Now they've fundamentally changed the way that you can play defense and control the running game. Like no other major sport does this year from year to year.
I'm with
you. Variance creates betting opportunities if you're able to kind of capitalize on them early. But it could also go the opposite way for you, too.
Yeah, so again, I'm with you. I didn't think, like, the World Baseball Classic, I thought it was great the way it was. Mm-hmm. Baseball, kind of old school. We'll see what this new school looks like. You do have some plays that you like. And I always say life is too short to bet unders because you're just waiting for the passage of time. You've got some overplays that I'm intrigued by, and one for the Northsiders in Chicago I think they're going to be happy with. Why do you think the over might be in play for the Cubs this year?
Got some overs and some unders for win totals, so don't worry, it's not just all overs here coming up. But when you look at the Chicago Cubs, I mean, I was on their overseason win total last year. I also took them 11-1 to win the division. Neither one of those cashed. They got off to a really bad start last year. They played a terrible first half. They were a really good team in the second half. And what they've done this season is they've taken the guys in the lineup that were productive, like Nico Horner, like Ian Happ, Patrick Wisdom, Seiya Suzuki, who's currently on the injured list with an oblique, but he'll be back soon. They've taken the guys that were good and surrounded them with actual major league talent in the other spots in the lineup. They got Dansby Swanson from the Braves in free agency, Trey Mancini, prove it deal for Cody Bellinger. We'll see if he can bounce back. But they took the best parts of their team and then signed guys with major league track records to kind of help them out a little bit. The rotation is significantly better because they got Jameson Taillon from the Yankees in free agency. Hayden Wisniewski is going to make the rotation. He looks really, really solid for them. They added some guys in the bullpen. Also, I think this division just isn't very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Reds have a season win total in the mid-60s. The Pirates are upper 60s. I think the Brewers fall back a little bit. Cardinals will be really good. They always are. But I think the Cubs are the team that can kind of take advantage of the overall weakness of this division. And one other thing I want to mention really quickly here is that when you say a player is average, that sounds like a negative, right?
Right.
That guy's just an average player. In Major League Baseball, there are a lot of players that are below average. A lot of them, especially offensively. So if you can replace below average guys with average guys or guys that are a little bit above average, that's a huge upgrade. And that's what the Cubs have done here. So I like over 77.5 for them.
I want to stay in the same division because, again, normally you're not going to play two overs in the same division because you've identified what we think is the third betting favorite at plus 650 to win this division. That's the Cubs. But you also do think the Redlegs might be a little bit better than people think.
Yeah, I think the Reds will be better. I mean, their player development on the pitching side has been really, really good. Their big three with Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft, from a pure stuff standpoint, these guys are outstanding. The command has to come around specifically for Ashcraft, and Hunter Green's got to stay healthy, which is a concern. He's in his early 20s and throws 100 miles per hour. But these guys all throw hard. They all have really good stuff. And the Reds last year, they went 62-100, right? So they fell short of this 65.5 number. They started last year 3-22 in their first 25 games.
Awful.
And they still barely lost 100 games. So they were a lot better after that with a lot of injuries. Joey Votto got hurt. Jonathan India got hurt. They had a lot of guys in and out. I think this team actually has some talent and some upside. I will say I didn't play this one yet, but it's on my short list, and I think I'm going to ultimately play it before the season starts.
All right, Great American Small Park there in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Very quickly, got about 90 seconds to go. Let's go to the American League for one other over total that you like. And this felt like a team that in the second half really showed maybe what they're capable of. You like Seattle again this year?
I like Seattle a lot. I think this lineup is great. I think this starting rotation is awesome. Their bullpen is very deep and very, very strong. The addition of Luis Castillo last year at the trade deadline, and then they ultimately signed him to a long-term extension. He's the ace that they needed, but Logan Gilbert's developing really, really well. George Kirby was about as unhittable as anybody in the second half last year. He looks great in the spring, too. I love this Mariners team. Up and down, the lineup is deep. The pitching staff is deep. They can withstand injuries. They've got a superstar in Julio Rodriguez. I don't know how the Rangers do. I don't know how the Angels do. I know they're a little bit better, but the Mariners are a team. I love their overseason win total, 87.5. Don't know if I can get there with the division just yet at plus 320 or so, but I think this team is outstanding. I expect them to win 90-plus games.
Yeah, I kind of like that total as well, because I was thinking they're about a 90-win team. Feels a little bit low at 87.5, so certainly picking up what you're putting down there. Great stuff. Much more baseball over the course of the next 2 hours. When we come back, let's talk some MMA. Pretty big fight card tonight in the UFC. Brian Petrie is going to be here to break it all down for us next here on The Handle.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
This is The Handle with Dave Ross and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetRivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be for hockey and NBA action. BetRivers has you covered for every line, odd, and boost. Join us every week for new promotions like our Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Saturday Hockey Same Game Parlay Bet and Get, weekly pro basketball bet and gets, and more. Check out BetRivers.com. Download the BetRivers app. It is a whole new ballgame. Back alongside Adam Burke, Dave Ross here. This is The Handle here on VSiN. A pleasure to bring back into the show Brian Petrie. He is a host of MMA Takes Podcast, a regular John Anik, Kenny Florian. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Petrie MMA. I just like big gun Brian Petrie. That got me to follow you initially right there, Brian.
I love it.
I'm very intrigued by this main event. We were talking a little bit before we began this conversation here on the air. You mentioned that it feels like a lot of sharps are on Marlon Vera tonight as the small betting underdog. The price tag has come down as the week has gone on against Corey Sandhagen. I'm really at an impasse here too, so I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. What style of fight are we going to see? Is it going to be a stand-up bantamweight banger for five rounds, or do you think somebody might try to take this thing down to the mat?
I think we're going to get some bang action here. I think it's going to be on the feet. But listen, Corey Sandhagen, last time out against Song Yudong, went for a lot of takedowns, looked to be in great shape, was mixing his overall game. Chito Vera has 68 takedown percent. You know, he's okay off his back. He's dangerous, but he's more on your feet. And I think the ego on both these guys are like, I'm a better striker. I'm a better striker. I cannot wait. It's all over the board. I flip back and forth. That plus money on Chito Vera has me really intrigued. So I place my money on Chito Vera. He's earned my hard-earned money. I keep using the same words over and over again. He's built different, right? He's going to lose the first two rounds. We all know that. But he's going to chip away and chip away, and he's going to find that spot in the third, fourth, fifth round. And he's been on the wrong end of some decisions before, so that does scare me a little bit. Well, plus 135 over 4.5 rounds is something that I'm absolutely going to hammer in this fight. But you can't get a better fight to close out March. March has been stacked. We got 135 bang show going on here, and I love it.
Hey, Brian, it's something I'm going to mention later on in this program on You Can't Handle the Truth about the judging, because you mentioned it there.
Yeah.
I think you think maybe a stronger play is, again, you got to lay a little bit of juice for the over 4.5 rounds. I actually think we're probably going to the cards here with all five, unless we get a stoppage. I don't know either one of us see coming. then you really have to kind of hold your breath, right? You mentioned Vera's been on the wrong side of some of these decisions. How does that factor into your handicap for a fight that we think is more than likely going to go to the judges' scorecards?
Right. I have been on a notoriously bad close fight lose streak. I cannot win a close one. So really, I'm just closing my eyes and crossing my fingers. But, you know, over 4.5 is solid. Corey Sandhagen has been finished once outside the UFC. That was a long time ago. He's durable. He's been in there with high-level guys. Chito Vero's made of stone. That guy's not getting out of there anytime soon. So over 4.5, yeah, you got to lay some juice. You got to lay some money. Put a couple shekels on it. I think you're going to be all right. I think that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, if you're looking at money line winners, and it goes to the judges. I mean, it's either your night or not, the way these judges are scoring it. They have been leaning a little more towards damage lately. Mm-hmm. And I think Chito Vera is the damaging guy here. I think he's going to mark up Corey Sandhagen quite a bit. So that's what I'm kind of hoping on. That's what I'm relying on. And I do have Chito Vera by decision over 4.5 and him money line. Kind of spread it all over the board just to kind of cover my bases there.
Brian, I want to ask you a little bit about this Holly Holm fight against Yana Santos. And something that's always interesting to me when you look at UFC fighters, kind of looking at, you know, how often that they've been in the octagon. And for Santos, you got a long layoff here. I mean, somebody who fought multiple times a year outside of the 2020 COVID year for like the last 5-6 years, but now she hasn't fought in about 20 months. How does that factor into the handicap for you?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, she's got a nice number. I see some sharps playing her. I see some guys really liking her. She's got that super mom power now. You know, she's a new mother. So you got that super mom strength. But Mackenzie Dern came back after only 8 or 9 months after having a baby, and she looked a little sluggish. You know, Yana Santos, I think, is a very good fighter. When she dictates the fight, she's very active. She throws a lot of strikes. But Holly Holm has that way of kind of shutting you down. 41 or not, she can wrestle. Her cardio is elite. And her striking is very good. I mean, one of the best female women boxers we've ever seen. And then she parlayed that to kickboxing, now MMA. It scares me a little bit when your Santos coming in here. Maybe, you know, there's some distractions that you're not used to. Long layoff, obviously, that hurts. But, you know, she's been finished before. And Holly Holm, to me, if you want to get off, if you want a title shot that you were talking about all week, you have 7 fights to prove it. You got to go out there and finish a girl like Yana Santos, who's been finished before by strikes. Irene Aldana is one of those women that finished her by strikes, and Holly Holm is a very similar fighter with Irene, maybe not as much power, but definitely with the technique.
Yeah, I think, as Brian, as you alluded to, the new mom here for Yana Santos, Yana Kunitskaya, so this is not a newcomer. Right. Some people get confused by that, but it's still Yana Kunitskaya, but now Yana Santos here in the octagon. You mentioned the finishing potential. I know you can shorten that price tag on Holly Holm by decision, because we're estimating that if this fight stays standing, it's really going to be hard for Yana Santos to win. Is Santos's only path to victory to get this fight down to the ground and try to do work and control Holly there?
I think so, and I think she can maybe out-volume Holly. Holly lately just seems like she's not really throwing many punches. Yana Kutsukaya, she averages a lot of strikes in her fights, and she's very active. She's not the most potent finisher. She's not the most aggressive, but she can just outpace you, and then those rounds slip away. And Holly Holmes used to fight in 5 rounds. This is a 3-round fight, so those rounds might slip away for Holly. Again, her last time out against Caitlin Vieira, she thought she won. I maybe thought she won. I had some shekels on Holly, but she didn't do enough. Hopefully, with minus 240, we're looking at her. Hopefully, she comes in and she does enough, because there are going to be spots for there. But I think Yana could win a decision, and I think taking it to the ground is smart. Holly Holm does have some good takedown defense, but you know, I just don't really see a path for Santos to win here besides maybe decision. And I think Holly could finish. If the old Holly Holm returns, let's get that old Holly back, and I think we can get a finish there.
Brian, outside the top 2 fights here on the main card, anything else that you're playing in the other fights?
Nate the Train Landwehr, baby. Nate the Train. This guy is a character, and I really think he's coming to his own. This guy made his bare bones in Russia. I mean, he fought a lot of top Russian dudes and did really well. Came in the UFC, and he's been up and down. He's getting Austin Lingo, who's been in a little bit of a limbo, a little play on words there, Lingo and Limbo, with the Hamos fight pulled out. He's had to cut weight twice. He's not the biggest 45er, but there's still that mental hurdle there. And Nate's with MMA Masters in Florida, and he looks to be in incredible shape, confident. My biggest knock on Nate is if he gets out of the first round, he wins. But that first round, if he gets clipped, he gets put down like he did against Herbert Burns, like he did against Julian Rosa, we're in trouble there. So I am encouraging people to play Austin Lingo KO first round. And then if that doesn't hit, put your money on Nate Dutrain, baby, because this guy's electric.
Yeah, that's where live betting really comes into play here for MMA. Yeah. You can certainly, I think it's a very smart way to handicap it. I want to talk about the future a little bit here, and I wonder if the future is now for Macy Barber. Solid favor against Andrea Lee here. Now, you know, Andrea Lee, Texas girl, fighting in San Antonio. What do you make of Macy Barber? She looked different this week getting ready for this big fight.
Yeah, I was high on Macy Barber, and I still am. You know, she had a horrible knee injury in a fight, lost the Roxanne Modafferi fight, lost a lot of hype, but I think she's really getting it back. I mean, if you ask any professional athlete and non-fighter, it takes about 2 years to really get that knee back to where you can trust it. And I think her confidence is now finally meeting where her expectations of herself are, and I think she can take Andrea Lee down, who has basically non-existent takedown defense. Her cardio has been shored up, Andrea Lee, that is. But if Macy takes her down and gets on top, that's where Macy's bread and butter was when we were talking about her being maybe the youngest female champion in the UFC at 21. She gets on top. Her ground and pound is vicious. That's where I see a path here. I was very hesitant on this fight. I was scared of it at first. But the more I dove into it, I'm like, man, I really like Macy Barber in this spot. And I have her by finish as well. That's the only play I have on her, a little prop finish there by Macy Barber. But I think she can get it done. And I think we're gonna be talking about Macy on Monday of maybe the next potential star or maybe top five at 125. Yeah.
Definitely some big names on this card, but there are five fights as part of the prelims, Brian. Yeah. Anything that you like out of those fights?
Man, out of the prelims, I like CJ Fergara. He's a Texas boy. He's a San Antonio boy. Trains with Pete Spratt. A lot of finishes outside the UFC. Has not really had that success in the UFC yet. But he's going against Daniel De Silva, Daniel Lacerda. This guy's got 14 different names. And he's a wild man in there. He does not leave the first round. He's never lost by decision. He finishes or gets finished. I like CJ Fergara by knockout. That is my big play. That is my prop play I gave out. And that's a multi-unit play for me on props. I believe it was minus 160 on DraftKings by CJ Vergara by knockout. I think the guy has had some tough matchups in UFC, and this is a really good matchup to really showcase who he's going to be. And, yeah, man, I can't wait for that fight. I think the second fight of the night, I think that's going to be an absolute banger of a fight, and hopefully we cash on that.
He is Big Gun Brian Petrie. How'd you get Big Gun, Brian? I like that moniker.
Yeah, so Cody Merrow, the producer of the Anakin Florian podcast, you know, I used to box back in the day. I have a little bit of experience, and he saw my Instagram where I was boxing, and he goes, oh, this is Big Gun. And I've never had a nickname, so I'm like, yes, let's go.
I love it. Give him a follow at Brian Petrie MMA. Brian, appreciate the insight as well. Enjoy the fights, my friend.
Thank you, guys. It's my pleasure.
Great having him on. Brian Petrie here talking all things. It should be a really exciting main event, certainly. And again, whenever you have a Hall of Famer like Holly Holm, you got to watch that fight card. We'll talk about that later on next hour here on The Handle on Visa.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.